I'd like to do is we're going to have a little pod experience at your table. And as you guys know, there are five I's in a pod. The first one is icebreaker. And the first thing that we need to do this is, number one, we need to have a table facilitator. So what I'd like for you to do is point to your table facilitator. Marcus just goes like, he don't even know who he's pointing to. He's just like that, you know. So, all right. Okay. Can I get my facilitators to stand up, please? Get my facilitator to stand up, please. Okay. All right. Here we go. All right. Give them a big hand clap. Here's our leaders. Like, hey, they were recognized as the leader of their table or their the sucker. I don't know which one, but, you know, it's like, make him do it, you know? Okay. Now, stay standing up. Stay standing up. Stay standing up. Okay. All right. Now, you're a leader. So you get to make decisions. If you prefer not to be the facilitator at your table, you can assign someone. Maybe that person that pointed at you. All right. So if you want to do it, you do it. Otherwise, point to someone else. Okay. All right. Now, hey, don't worry. This is going to be phenomenal coach training. Okay. So will our real leaders stand up? Okay, so Beverly's doing it? Okay, all right. Now, icebreaker is a question that you'll answer in 60 seconds or less. So we need a timekeeper at the table because I got some stuff I want to teach you. All right, and here's what we're going to do. The icebreaker question is, in 60 seconds or less, I want you to communicate your vision for your company in 1 minute or less for this year, 2019. This will be good practice. Here's my vision for our company, 2019. Start with a facilitator and go clockwise around the table. All right? Everybody understand? Okay. Not even close?
My company, his company, or what are we talking about?
Now, your company, right? So each person, your company. Okay. All right, my vision for my company in 2019 is, in 60 seconds or less, fill in the blanks.
You use your MVPs, your vision off of that, or your vision?
Just the overall picture, just the picture. This is what I want to see happen in 2019. Broad brush, okay? You may sit down, ready, set, grow. Okay, folks, has everybody shared at your table? I know they have here. Y'all got four people and they got like 13, you know what I mean? So, all right, everybody shared? Okay. How many of you heard some phenomenal visions? Okay. How about if we get the microphone and let's just go around and here are just a few things that are on your mind for this year. All right, Victoria or Leakey, somebody give me the hand mic. And let's hear from a few of you of what you're thinking about. And somebody gave me $20. They gave me a letter and $20. And they said, I'd like to have 2 minutes of your time. And I thought, Look at the letter, Marcus. This is a good cause, okay? And that's $600 an hour. Not bad, okay? But you're here, so you get the 2 minutes no matter what. You don't have to pay for the 2 minutes. You already paid to be here. So I'm going to pass this on. And then if you want to pass it on, you can buy somebody lunch or coffee or, you know, whatever. So I'm going to be listening to these visions, and somebody's going to get a $20 bill, okay? All right. We might upgrade it to 100 as we go, you know. Start small, go big. All right, who wants to share first? Okay. Dr. Lewis Clark, I've been coaching this guy and his team personally over the last year, and it has been a pleasure, sir. You have a phenomenal business, a phenomenal heart, and a phenomenal team, and a phenomenal business.
Yeah, and a phenomenal coach, by the way, too.
Thank you.
But so we, because of that, and because of Howard's leadership, really setting, looking higher, you know, realizing what Zig said a long time ago, that people don't set their goals, you know, too high and not reach them. They set them too low, and they do. And so so we've set a high goal for this year. My wife is coming to the practice now with me as a certified health coach, and she's working. And so our vision this year is to double our practice by the end of 2019. And that's a big vision because we've been in practice for 27 years and we've been blessed and we've got a successful practice. But we're not doing all that we can do. And so we're taking it to another level to take the health and what we've learned to other people and help them with their health.
Love it. All right. Give it up for Dr. Clark. Okay. We may have one more. Who's next? Bella. By the way, Bella is on Sherry's team. I may have mentioned that earlier. So
I am here to represent Total Merchant Concepts. I do work with Sherry Perry, and I've had a wonderful opportunity to facilitate some pods and participate, and it was awesome to be in this moment because what I wanted to share is something where it was not specific, but in a roundabout way, it went to everybody here at this table wanted to help their teammate, their employees to grow. And what followed with that, the numbers will follow. So it was pretty amazing how they wanted to rise everybody else around them to get to where they want to be, to make the place, the workplace, a better place.
Awesome. All right. Give it up for Bella. So here's the thing. There's a formula to double your business. And the reason that you guys are sitting here right now is because Sherry made that same decision. She had that same vision. I'm going to develop my team members. I have 40-something team members. And depending on how you count coaches and independent folks and all that sort of thing, and I'm able to get a lot done. And I can tell you, and working with Ziegler and helping Tom build that business now, I can tell you that the key to growing a team is to understand what their goals are. Zig Ziegler said it best. You can have everything in life you want if you just help enough other people get what it is that they want. What are their goals? What are their dreams? Thank you, Bella. Okay, who's next? Gail.
I'm Gail Stolzenberg, certified professional networker, and my goal for this year is to conduct a major workshop. One of the topics is going to be business networking and sex. Not what you think. It's about the differences between the way women network and men network. So that's my goal.
And that is a book title, is it not? Yes. So Ivan Meisner wrote a book with a similar title. You and Ivan are friends. I know that. And wasn't it great when we had Ivan Meisner here? We have to figure out a way, Victoria, my marketing ninja, own the marketing space. I want all of our keynotes from past roundtables, Ivan Meisner, John Maxwell, whatever. I want to put them on a drip to go out to Inner Circle members to remind them to watch those or show them to your team. Would you like to show a $50,000 keynote to your team in a staff meeting? Yeah. Let's make it easier for you to do that. Give it up for Gail. Okay. All right. Now, you guys are going to... Actually, I know who I'm going to give this money to. Hello. Give it up for Bella. All right. I can't even tell you how grateful I am to Sherry and all what you guys do for us on a regular basis. So thank you. All right, next step is open your business plan, and I want you to, Sadie, can you control this from back there? Okay, go to the next slide for me. Some of you guys that went through our workshop yesterday did the assessment, but we didn't do the leadership. We'll do the leadership today. And we'll do the wheel today. So if you'll open up to this page, and what I want you to do is it'll take you about 2 minutes. And what I want you to do is remember that you got to have some sort of a vision to get started with. You got to start communicating that vision. You got to understand. Thank you. You got to understand where you are. And that's what the assessment is all about. All right. So I want you to take 2 minutes, go through your business assessment. Everybody know how to do this, right? So you're going to rate each statement on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being poor, 10 being phenomenal. You get a 1, there's no zeros, you get a 1 just for looking at it and considering it, all right? And then you're going to add that total up and divide it by 10. Then what you're going to do is after you do all 5 assessments is you're going to take your total numbers and you're going to circle the corresponding number on each spoke, and you're going to draw a line from dot to dot. You guys know how to do this. You've all probably done it. Most of you have done it before. If you have any help, if you need any help, there's someone at your table who's already done this, and they can show you how, and I can be walking around to help you guys as well. All right. Keep them up, 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 keep them up. Okay. All right, here's what I want you to do now is I want you to just shout out what's one thing, one area of your business you need to focus on this year and why? Admin, why?
It sucks.
Okay, all right, we'll move on. Okay, who's next? What's one area you want to work on and why? Admin, why?
Not doing it.
Not doing it, okay. All right. Okay, what's your... Jim?
Marketing.
Marketing, why?
I need to get more dollars in the door so I can fix the sucking sound of my admin department.
Okay, so get more dollars in the door so I can fix the sucking sound of the admin department. Okay, all right. Sounds like we need to catch Ellen before she leaves and... start over again. Okay, Chris.
Marketing.
Marketing, why?
We fell off of it. It takes a long time to regain momentum.
Fell off of it. Takes a long time in your particular business to regain momentum. Okay, someone else. What and why? Yes.
Hey, upsales.
Upsales, why?
Why? Because it's first, the most profitable sale. And second, it's going to help my employees to increase their...
Yes. Okay. The most profitable sale, it increases profits, and it's going to help your team member. Thank you, Randy. Okay. A couple more, real quick. Yes.
Over here.
Leadership?
Yeah.
Why?
Because everything is suffering because of it.
Right. Everything rises and falls on leadership.
Leadership. We must have a bad leadership problem overhead.
See, what happened, Phil, what happened was we actually arranged the seating. You guys didn't know it, but, you know, we learned, you know, that one of those guys that America's Got Talent and stuff appears in the audience that there's no way that it could happen. We did that. Like, all the admin sucky people were, like, at one table, all the leadership people that, you know, just kidding. Okay, but here's the thing. We're going through a process here, right? So you have a vision. This is what I want to accomplish this year. Hopefully we have good reasons, how it's affecting our life and how it's affecting everything else. And then we do this business assessment. How many of you, when you look at this business assessment or when you looked at it for the first time, it looked like Mount Everest? Like, there ain't no way I can do all this, right? Okay, so think about this for a second. Have people climbed Mount Everest? Have people done big things? Yes. So the thing is that this gives us the scope of everything, right? We can't, most of us, unless you've been trained as a commercial pilot, you can't just go across the street to Hobby Airport and get one of those jets and take off and know what you're doing and actually survive, right? Even if you're a pilot of a small plane, you're going to get into that cockpit and you're going to like be like, what are all these buttons, right? You'll kill yourself and everybody else. So this is a big, big deal. But let me ask you a couple more questions. Number one, how many of you in the inner circle, you looked at this the first time and your wheel was like messed up and today your wheel is better? Let me see your hands. Okay, look around the room. Keep them up. Keep them up. All right. How many of you would agree with this statement that if you could truly say that you could rank high in all of these areas, you'd have a pretty successful company, wouldn't you? Absolutely. Now I'm going to share the key with you. Santi, the one thing. The idea here is that you have to take all this stuff in your life and in your business, and you have to boil it down to something called the one thing. Of course, the one thing is a book, of course, by Gary Keller. And Santi, you have the video in the right spot too, right? So the one thing is a book by Gary Keller, and then they developed a training program around the one thing. Over the last, about 12 weeks, I've taken my leadership group through the one thing. I got certified in it several years ago. I took my team to hear Gary Keller. And today, they're not actually even currently offering this certification. And it's like you almost can't get it anywhere. So it's been so powerful for me that's why I decided to take our Inner Circle 777 through it. And why I want to share some of it with you today. Because when you get the one thing in your life, you really understand how it works and why it works, you'll be more effective. This whole conference is about implementation, right? The number one reason that people don't grow or do as well as they could is FTI, failure to implement. There's too much to focus on. There's too many choices. There's too much to do. You could look at that assessment, but if you don't have some kind of way of approaching that and focusing on the most important thing, you're not going to get there. So the one thing is really about focus. You get more done by being focused. And I want to start with the one thing video.
Have you ever wondered, if everyone has the same number of hours in a day, why do some people seem to get so much more done than others? Are they putting in longer hours? Are they not taking vacations? Are their personal lives suffering? The truth is, it's not that we have too little time to do all the things we need to do, it's that we feel the need to do too many things in the time we have. The people who achieve extraordinary results don't achieve them by working more hours. They achieve them by getting more done in the hours they work. At home or on the job, distractions lead to poor choices, painful mistakes, and unnecessary stress. Success comes when you can honestly say that you are meant to be where you are right now, doing exactly what you're doing. Identify what matters most to get the results you seek and give it your undivided attention. Because at any moment in time, there can only be one thing. What's your one thing?
What did you notice in that video? What's that? Where? On the right-hand side, right? Lack of focus, all right? What else? What's that? It was fast? Okay. I got it. All right. So did everybody get that on one side, one thing was happening, and on the other side, that it was the same amount of time? The person on the left wasn't making very good choices, were they? Huh? On the right side, your right side, yes, thank you. Choices. That's what Tom Ziegler's new book is all about. Choices. All right, what else you see? Time they got done with work. Why did they get done late? Huh? Too many distractions. See, when you're distracted, you're not focused. And that's what we're going to talk about. All right, so I shared with you that Gary Keller's definition of success earlier is getting what you want. Some people I've found it's hard for them to describe a goal or really articulate or verbalize what they want. Sometimes that comes from a poor self-image or a belief issue or something like that. So maybe a better way to do this is think about what you don't want. No, we don't want to be unhealthy, right? We don't want to be a bad person spiritually, relationally, right? We all want to be a better person. We all want to get more done. So based on that, what do you need to know? The answer is you need to know what you want and why you want it. By the way, you have a handout in your folder. You don't have all the slides because every one of our speakers, AC does this, I don't do this, but you know, we have all these speakers and everybody wants to have a 30-page handout. I don't know how much you pay for that. It's like every class you go into, it's like a book, which is great. But I know, right? Jim, the printer says, I'll see a problem with that. Okay. All right.
$35 a book.
35 bucks a book. Okay. So I did a quick calculation because some people that I won't name sent in like these big, thick, you know, handouts. I was like, it's like 9,000 pages for this group. So what we're going to do instead, I gave you the main slides where you can take notes. And then what are we going to do? We're going to send it to you. We're going to send you the slides. We're going to send you the video. We're going to send you the audio. All right. So Gary Keller said that his aha moment, and remember that Gary Keller built Keller Williams Realty into the largest residential real estate company in the country, probably in the world. And his aha moment, and when his company started growing 40% year over year for over a decade, it was when he had this aha moment. This aha moment was he realized where he had success is when his focus was narrowed down to the smallest detail. How many of you can tell me what this number right here represents? Minutes in a day. That's right. That's how many minutes every single person in here has to work with. But have you noticed that some people get more done than other people do? All right. So time is what Gary Keller calls the great equalizer. Everybody has the same amount of time, but we all know or have heard of someone who's done extraordinary things, had extraordinary success. How do they do more, achieve more, earn more, and have more? And the answer is they get to the heart of things. He calls it going small. Going small. So by going small is ignoring all the things that you could be doing and focusing on what you should be doing. It's realizing that extraordinary results are directly determined by how narrow you can make your focus. I think I've shared this with you guys before, some of you anyway. that my friend, many years ago, he was writing a book, and it was called something like, there were, you know, Words of Success or something like that. And he asked every successful person that he knew, what's your word for success? If you could define success in one word, remember that? And Dr. David Wolf from NASA, he came and spoke at our conference, and I don't know if he still does this or not, but he was and maybe still is, the director of the spacewalk program. So he trained all the astronauts at NASA that do spacewalking at the International Space Center. All right. And he's been on 4 shuttle missions, and he came and spoke at our conference. And it was like a powerful presentation. Randy, were you there? Man, I tried to grab that. He had the video on a DVD, and I tried to like grab that out of the tray, and he was like, nope. Like, so just that was it. I can't even find it on video, but it was powerful. I mean, think about this. The shuttle's got those amazing engines, and it blasts off, and they got cameras inside, outside the shuttle and everything. And he's got this video of this shuttle mission of the Steppenwolf song, Born to be Wild. It was awesome. And he's like, no, that's my keynote. You can't have it. But we were meeting with him, and my friend said, what word would you pick if you could pick just one word for success? And he said, perspicacious. I'm like, I'm from Alabama. Listen, we can turn a one-syllable word into 7 syllables, but we can't understand a 7-syllable word, okay, or however many syllables that is. So I was hoping my friend would keep him occupied and ask him what it meant. And I'm sitting down here trying to Google it, you know. So in essence, what it means, this is not the exact definition, but what you can take out of this is focus and having the ability to focus on what's important, regardless of all the distractions going on around you. Think about the movie Gravity. How many of you saw the movie Gravity, right? With George Clooney and Sandra Bullock. And what happened? They were trying to fix something on the space station. There's this explosion. There's all this space junk flying all over the place. And they're trying to, you know, focus on their mission at that point, which was to survive. Perspicacious. I was working with AC's team a couple weeks ago in Orlando. And I had his leaders around the table, his new CEO. And we're talking about the one thing and doing all this stuff. And close to the end, I shared this about this word. And Dan Holland says, man, you could have just, that's my takeaway right there. You could have started with that and we would have been done in 10 minutes. Hey, next time I'm open with that, right? And anyway, it's true, isn't it? Look how many distractions we have today. We live in a digital world where everything's dinging, pinging, vibrating, and everything is after your attention. So you have to be perspicacious. Now, here's a concept called the domino effect. The domino effect says the path to getting everything you want is to get one thing at a time. To live big, you must go small. Think about that. To live big, big dream, small focus. To live big, you must go small and trust the domino effect. When you knock down one thing, it automatically sets you up to knock down the next. So what we want to do in our business before we're done today is understand, or before we're done tomorrow, is understand that big vision that you have, where you are with your assessment, and be able to boil that down to the smallest point of what I need to do today. That's what your daily time capsule is all about. It doesn't matter whether that's in your business, but the same applies for your life and every area of your life as well. So the domino effect says this, that a domino can knock down another domino that is 50% larger, all right? And that domino can knock down a domino that's 50% larger, and so on and so on. If you count the dominoes at, let's see, domino number 18, you would topple the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Now, it's already leaning, so that'd be a little bit easier. But at domino number 23, the Eiffel Tower. Domino number 51, Mount Everest. And domino number 57, you're almost to the moon. That's the domino effect. Have you seen that in people's lives? Where they start small and it just starts like snowballing and snowballing and snowballing. You get to a point where things are happening because of the deposits that you put in. It's almost like this pump right here. So you guys know how this pump works, right? Zig's pump. He said you got to put something in before you get something out, right? And then you got to pump like crazy just to get that cool, clean, fresh, sweet water that's really deep, even getting it flowing. That's hard, hard work. But once you do that, once you do the hard work, then, as Mr. Ziegler says, you just keep a little easy, steady pressure on it, right? Don't let what you built, don't stop, because if you let your hand off the lever, the flow is going. You don't maybe not have to work as hard to keep it going, but you need to keep some steady pressure on it. So we have to work like crazy to get it up there, but we start small. You start small to go big. Make sense? All right. So Gary Keller says that extraordinary success, we could say phenomenal success in this room, is sequential, not simultaneous. What does that mean? It means one thing at a time. That every moment in time, there is the most important thing that you need to be focused on. It's not just one thing. It's one thing at a time. And the domino effect is doing that one small thing that leads to the next thing, that leads to the next thing, that leads to the next thing. It doesn't happen all at once. You don't just win the lottery. It happens over time. How many of you have heard of the 80-20 rule or the Pareto principle, right? That 80% of your results come from 20% of the effort. In your business, you need to be able to decide and figure out what's the 20%. What are the most important things that you need to focus on that are going to give you the 80% return? What happens is we try to do the 80%, we get 20% return. So every person in the company has their primary focus, their 20% that's going to give them the 80% of the results. And honestly, some things we just need to get rid of. How can we eliminate the steps? So here's how it works. Everybody got a to-do list? Do you start the day with a to-do list? Most people do. Okay? Or you should. Or maybe, even better than a to-do list, you have a success list. So when you're thinking about your business and everything that you need to do this year, it's going to be a long list. When you think about everything that you need to accomplish and do this month, it's going to be a long list. When you think about everything that you need to do this week, it's going to be a long list. Everything that you need to do today, it's going to be a long list. So we have to prioritize that list. We have to figure out what is the 20%. What are the should-do items? How many items are up there on the right-hand side? 4. So what we ask you to do, not right now, but as we go through, here is the proven formula. Here's what we do in Inner Circle. I promise you, it works if you work it. Follow the process. Follow the system. You take all the could-dos, all the things that you need to do, and you boil it down to the what we call the phenomenal four, the four should-dos, the four gotta-dos. One of those things is going to be your one thing. It'll become clearer as we go. All right, now, question for you is, what is the one thing in your business for 2019? If you don't know that today, then your one thing is to figure out your one thing. For example, someone said they wanted double sales. Now, if we take that and we say, okay, I want to double my revenue in the next 12 months, why is that important? What does that do for me? What are the dominoes that I'm going to have to line up to make that happen? And then we're going to look at that and we're going to say, you know, what's the one thing that has to happen for us to even have a chance to do that? And so that leads you into the project. Do you think that Dr. Clark's goal of doubling his practice in the next 12 months is going to have something to do with marketing and sales? Yeah. So, in fact, we had our last conversation is he floated an idea that he got from the chiropractic industry and said, you know, we can do that because we've been working like on his sales process and how they close more sales and things like this. So if you have a lot of prospects and they're good prospects, but you're not making the sale, then you need to focus on the sales. Your one thing is improve the sales systems, all right? If you don't have enough people coming into your store, then you need to focus on marketing. So do you see how you start getting focused on that? Now, you're always going to have issues, right? You're always going to have a lot of things that need to be worked on, but we can't focus on everything at one time. So we have to decide what it is. If I'm a new business, you know, the first thing I need to understand is how do I get money coming in the door? So my entire focus needs to be on marketing. I need to learn marketing. I need to implement marketing every day. But then we got to chunk it down to, all right, what is our phenomenal four projects and what is the one thing that we have to do to make that happen? What's the one thing that we need to focus on today? That becomes my one thing project. Does that make sense to everybody here? Okay. All right. So here's the question. All right. This is in your handout. Here's the question. What's the one thing I can do in my business such that by doing it, that's implementation, makes everything else either easier or unnecessary? If you're not bringing in enough money, are there things that you're having to do that are make it harder? Like, I got to go find some money somewhere. I got to take some more money out of my... Look at Mike Killen. He's taking money out of his savings. Not necessary anymore. Makes it easier because he doesn't have to worry about having money in his bank account. All right. What is the one thing I can do or my team can do such that by doing it, it makes everything else either easier or unnecessary? If you don't know what that is for your business, that's your one thing. This is where coaching comes in. We take that assessment and we look at it. We ask you what's going on in your life and in your business and what does the focus area need to be and why. So we have to see that whole picture and be able to see the big picture, but then go small. What's the thing that we have to do? When I was working with AC's team, he's got a huge vision. Like, there are a few people that I've met as small business owners that have a vision like he does. Big vision. But as I met with the team, and he's spinning off several companies off of his company and doing some crazy stuff, I love it. Guess what it boiled down to? These different businesses, these different departments communicating with each other. If we just communicate better, that one thing, if we do that one thing well, all the dominoes start to fall, right? Does that make sense? If I don't have enough income, then my one thing has to be about how can we bring in more income? We don't worry about everything else. Yeah, if a customer's unhappy, you got to take care of that. If employee messes up or, you know, you got to focus on that. But you get up every morning, you do what we call the daily time capsule, and you invest that first part of the day thinking through, how do I get more money in this business? Let me look at all the training that we have. Okay, we're going to do client-based marketing right there. We're going to start making 20 calls a day. All right, we're going to set up our email program, all right, and we're going to get that launched. You may have to hire somebody to do that. You may have to get us to do that. But that becomes an action step that has to happen when you stay focused on the one thing and you don't get distracted, the dominoes start to fall. This will become more clear as we go. Now, this is what's called the focusing question. There's three parts to it. What's the one thing? What is the one thing I can do? Number two. How many of you know that if you want to be successful, you're not depending on the economy or other people? Yes, you have to depend on your team. Well, if I need my team to communicate, then what do I have to do? I have to begin to practice some better leadership, right? That's the one thing I have to do, is become a better leader, practice better leadership. So if I'm going to practice better leadership, my one thing becomes developing myself as a leader, right? Developing myself as a leader, I got to start with, okay, if I don't know this yet, what is leadership? Okay, let me learn the DISC model of human behavior. Folks, this is why we have our system. This is why we have GPS, goals, plans, systems. That's your first thing right there. And then leadership. We have 12 modules. What is leadership? The DISC model of human behavior. And you know, how do you, your org chart and your PRDs and all those kinds of things, you see? It's a system, and it's one thing at a time. You're not going to build all this stuff overnight. Nobody does. But when you get the first domino tipped over, now you can start creating that that success. So what's the one thing I can do, or we can do as a team? So it has to be something that's doable, right? Such that by doing it, that's the third part. You got to actually do it. Yeah, I can do it, but did I do it? FTI. I was talking to Hannah. Stopped on my way back from Destin, and is it Alexandria? Okay. And, I mean, this young lady right here is a saint. I mean, she's carrying this thing, but there's so much going on. Did I have to coach you on the one thing, and the one thing you had to do every day? And we agreed that when you do that one thing, that everything is going to get better? And you told me the other day you're doing it. Is it helping? Oh, yeah. It will make everything else either easier or unnecessary. Start here. Are you making a profit? Do you have cash in the bank? Are you able to pay your bills on time? You got to start there. Because until you fix that, that's why what Ellen told me yesterday, and what I love, and Santi and I have been talking about this so much over the last year, is that we always have to start, you guys, with the numbers. Ellen says always start with the numbers, because that tells the story. You know, if we're focused over here on, you know, this, that, or the other thing, we're not making any money. Doesn't matter. We got to fix that first. That's the first domino. All right? Amen. Now you can apply this to all areas of your life. What's the one thing I can do for my health that makes everything either easier or unnecessary? Everybody knows what that is, right? You eat right and you exercise. Now, why you don't do it is a whole different thing, which requires coaching, maybe sometimes, in my case, maybe counseling. I'm convinced that I need somebody with me 24/7 that'll hit me when I eat the wrong thing. That pizza, you taste it, and then I take it from you, okay? But, and all of us have areas in our life that we're just not strong in, and you can apply this. What's the one thing I can do for my physical health that makes everything else either easier or unnecessary? Makes it unnecessary to go to the doctor. It makes it unnecessary or to, you know, be in the hospital, whatever. You know, Denise's parents, my in-laws, are in their late 80s. Lots of problems. Now, her dad took care of himself. He would have been gone a long time ago if he didn't, right? What's the one thing I can do for my spiritual life that makes everything else, such that by doing it, everything else will be either easier or unnecessary? Pray might be one. Read the Word of God might be one. What's the one thing that I can do for my personal life that makes everything else easier or unnecessary? That's a simple one for me. Go to the beach. Very simple. I get whole again. I eat better when I'm down there. I exercise every day. I pray. I work on my business. I can make a case for that one. What's the one thing I can do for my relationships such that by doing it, everything else becomes either easier or unnecessary? How many of you know you can't change anybody else? So the one thing I can do is what? Change myself. Maybe instead of telling people or getting stuff or getting angry, I could ask questions and I could do what Stephen Covey told us to do all along, who he stole from, I think, Augustine, who stole that from somebody else and said, seek to understand before being. See, we're selfish beings. We live in a fallen world. Who do we think about every day? Ourselves. Now, some of y'all are better at loving on other people than others are. Those of you that have been blessed with the gift of the S style personality profile. Right? I mean, any S that I got, y'all, everybody last night, we love you. Thank you for, my team does it. Yes, I want to help people, but personally, if I have it, God gave it to me. It ain't even me. It's Him doing it through me. But I understand the importance of it. And the point is that what is the one thing I can do in my relationship with my spouse? What's the one thing that I can do for my relationship with my son that makes everything easier or unnecessary? Is it easy or hard to argue? Easy. Is it easy to be all stressed out? Or is that harder than being at peace? You can't change someone else, but you can change you. Now, watch this. Everything on the right-hand side, this is really cool because this is a lot like Zig Ziglar's Wheel of Life. And as you notice, it has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 circles, similar to the Wheel of Life from Ziglar. And if you take a line and put it straight through like this, you'll notice that everything on the right-hand side is personal, and everything on the left-hand side is business, all right? And I guess you could say that finances, that would be questionable because, you know, there's people who have gotten money from relatives or whatever, but on this side is your professional life, typically, and in life, you're going to have business relationships and you're going to have life relationships. So what's the one thing I can do for my key business relationships that makes everything else either easier or unnecessary? And honestly, there's some very simple, easy easy answers to that question. Serve them. Help them reach their goals. Simple as that. That's why Tom Ziegler's banner is on this stage. I just went and served Ziegler. This is why Michelle and I work together. We just help each other. She doesn't get paid to MC my events. She pays her own expenses. I don't charge her to go speak for at her book bound, which everybody should go to, by the way. We help each other. You can have everything in life you want if you just help enough other people get what it is that they want. All of life, all of business, it's all about relationships, isn't it? Okay, so there's a one thing there somewhere. Now, there are six lies between you and success. These lies are going to rob you of your productivity. They're going to keep you confused and not being clear, and they're going to keep you from accomplishing your one thing. All right, so the first lie is everything matters equally. That's a lie. Everything doesn't matter equally right now. Just the fact that you could prioritize your list means that everything does not matter equally. We're going to cover all six of these. Number two is multitasking. You ever gotten a resume from someone that says, I'm a great multitasker? Don't hire them. Number three, how many of you said this? Oh, I just need more discipline to reach my goals. I just need more discipline in my life to get everything done. It's a lie. The other lie is that willpower is always on will call. It takes a very extraordinary person to keep the energy all day. I was with Dr. Joseph Michelli a few weeks ago, and we had we've been doing a branding group with him all year. And this guy's an international branding expert, number one New York Times best-selling author. I told him about the book writing group that Michelle and I are doing, and he's going to do a webinar for us and share his book writing habits, one of which I will not adopt. I'm sorry. Write every day? Yes, I can do that. But I asked him, I said, how long does it take you to write a book? He's writing a book right now. It'll be coming out this year about Airbnb. He wrote The Starbucks Experience. He's written books on Mercedes-Benz. He gets paid a lot of money to consult with these companies. He says 12 weeks. He's like D off the charts, like D period. D period. He's got some eye that he can use if he wants to, you know. And he's a psychologist, so like he can play with your mind, you know. 12 weeks. 12 weeks. I mean, you mind elaborating? I mean, how many hours a day and how many days a week? 15 hours a day. Every single day for 12 weeks. But it, he's the only one in the room, but it's done. Are you crazy? Are you nuts? I mean, I'm bragging, you know, I wrote The Power of Community in, you know, 3 months, 6 days a week, 5 hours a day. And then here comes Joseph Michelli.
Bust your bubble, dude.
Bust my bubble. That's right. Okay. All right. This is almost like cursing in the Ziegler community. A balanced life is a lie. We'll get to it. And then number six, big is bad. People think if I have a bigger company, everything's going to be out of control and all that. It's not true. Not necessarily. Unless you do it wrong. All right, so let's look at lie number one. Lie number one, everything matters equally. It doesn't. Get this. Achievers always work from a clear sense of priority. Did you know that the Hebrew word, according to Mr. Tom Ziegler, for accountability means to focus what's on important now? Focus on what's important now. What's important now? Perspicacious. What's the priority right now? That's not a priority right now. Yeah, but it's important, and so-and-so's in a hurry. It's not a priority right now. You can't be everything to everybody. You have to focus on what's the highest priority. Gary Keller, this whole book, the One Thing book, the training and all that is based on research. And research says the word that priority originated in the 14th century from the Latin word prior, meaning first. Priority, watch this, priority remained unpluralized, cut that out of the video, until the 20th century when the world apparently demoted it to mean generally something that matters. What is the priority? Instead of a to-do list, you need a success list, a list that is purposefully created around extraordinary results. Lie number two is multitasking. Employers advertise for people who are self-proclaimed multitaskers. Don't do that. Now, the thing is that people don't really understand what's going on here. So hire them, but then teach them the one thing. Okay? Multitasking is probably one of the biggest lies out there of doing the most important thing is the most important thing. Why would you try to do anything else at the same time? Anybody ever started writing an email, you got interrupted, and then when you went back to that email, you had to reread everything that you wrote all over again to get back on track? You ever got a text message or you went to send an email or say you went to send an email, then you get distracted on Facebook and 20 minutes later, you're like, what was I even working on? Right? You're walking down the hallway to go do something, you get a text message, and you get involved in that, and you're like, what did I come in here for? Right? That might just be an age thing. I don't know. But the point is that multitasking is a lie. So let's watch that video again. Santi, play that video again. Let's watch this video again a lot closer, and let's notice what's going on here.
Wondered, if everyone has the same number of hours in a day, why do some people seem to get so much more done than others? Are they putting in longer hours? Are they not taking vacations? Are their personal lives suffering? The truth is, it's not that we have too little time to do all the things we need to do. It's that we feel the need to do too many things in the time we have. The people who achieve extraordinary results don't achieve them by working more hours. They achieve them by getting more done in the hours they work. At home or on the job, distractions lead to poor choices, painful mistakes, and unnecessary stress. Success comes when you can honestly say that you are meant to be where you are right now, doing exactly what you're doing. Identify what matters most to get the results you seek and give it your undivided attention. Because at any moment in time, there can only be one thing. What's your one thing?
Okay, you watched it the second time. What did you see this time? Did you see more? Luisa? Ooh. Quality time with the family, eating healthy instead of, nothing wrong with pizza, but instead of, what's that? Everybody didn't come to this seminar, so we'll still have plenty of business. It's all right.
So why did it take us two times to see that?
Oh, now that's a whole nother story that's not part of this seminar. Okay, you ever watch a movie about 16 times, and the 16th time you watch it, you said, I never saw that scene.
She had a sign on her door, and her door closed during the work day. She only opened it up for lunch.
She had a sign on her door that said something to the effect of, I'm in my one thing time right now. Yes, ma'am. Boundaries. The other lady's door was open and people kept coming in. Like Zig Ziglar used to say, he said, how many of you noticed that people who don't have anything to do want to do it with you? And he also talked about how much waste was in the marketplace. And, I mean, there's a whole story on that. He gets into it, right? And, I mean, he's doing all the calculations, and at the end of it, he said, and then remember that there are two people that are involved here. So you can double all those numbers. We're going to look at some numbers in just a minute. All right, what else you see? Yes, ma'am. Switching back and forth. You're going to see that in just a minute. There's something called a switch cost. Thank you. Someone else. Yes, sir. Yeah, so the idea of having effective meetings is dealing with as much as you can in those meetings and then having some kind of a process. So we're going to drill down to that. So the thing is where you want to really get to this is when do we meet? Where does this go on the calendar? We're going to get into time blocking tomorrow. And you calendar everything. This is when I take phone calls. This is when I don't. This is when we meet. This is when we don't. This is when I do email. This is when we don't. Now, you got to sync with your team. And the thing is that, you know, we can all get distracted. And there's always, you know, things going on. But when you can, speaking of a time block, if you can get in a 60 or a 90-minute groove and whatever project you're working on and just try to ignore emails and text messages unless something really crazy is going on, then and then get that done and then have a little space where you check your emails and things and come back to it. I don't think it's realistic to do emails twice a day for me. I like to keep up on my stuff because once I get something delegated by email, then I know that that's going to start happening. Right? I don't want to wait a whole day. So you have to organize your time, organize your task. Write down these numbers for me real quick. 4,000, 43, and 28%. Chief. The number of conscious thoughts on an average day. Most people have an interruption of thought every 14 seconds. That's how fast your mind is going. All right? 43. All based on research, the average number of interruptions in the workplace daily. Every 11 minutes. If you have employees, you should just groan right now. And 28% is the loss of efficiency during those distractions. The end result, in a 5-day work week, you are losing more than one full day of production due to distractions. What do you see when you see workers who are supposed to be working? Money being lit on fire, somebody said. Somebody who's supposed to be working. Now, if your work is on your phone, that's one thing. All right, so here's what you're talking about, Deanna. This is the switch cost, all right? So you're focusing on your project. When someone interrupts you, or you interrupt yourself, or you get distracted by a text message or whatever, then you have to switch. You have to focus on the distraction. Hopefully you're not driving. So a lot of accidents have happened. A lot of people have been killed that way. Focus on a text message. It's something emotional, and so you get drawn into it, and the next thing you're in an accident. Then there's another switch cost, because when you go to get focused back on what you're doing, you switch, and you have to reorient and then work on your primary work. So the idea is to stay focused on your primary work. And again, I can be the worst person at this, because I'm trying to get so much done. But every time I go through this program, every time I read the book, and I've read it, I don't know, dozens of times, I've taught this many times. Every time I go back and teach this or learn this again, it reminds me, when I'm working on my projects, ignore the text message, ignore the email, don't get distracted on Facebook, and I'm more productive. We've all agreed that if we get more done ourselves, if we get more done through our team, that we would be more successful. We just get more done, more of the right things done, right? Yeah. Okay. Number three, you don't need more discipline. We buy into the lie that everything matters equally. When we buy into that lie, we end up multitasking because there's just too much to do. And when multitasking doesn't work, we end up saying things like, I just need more discipline in my life. The trick to success is to choose the right habit and bring enough discipline to establish it. We've all heard that it takes 21 days to build a habit. Everybody heard that in this room before? Probably. It's not true. Research has shown, there's a great book by Charles Duhigg called The Power of Habit, and research has shown that it takes anywhere from 18 days to 254 days, depending on the emotion that is tied to it. See, think about this. If this is something you've been doing all your life and you feel like you have to do that and there's some emotional connection to it, I used to study a guy by the name of Bill Gillum, and I'd totally forgotten that I'd even written about this in my book, Think and Be Phenomenal, but I learned it from him, that we develop these green highways in our minds. They're just like engravings in our mind. Dr. Carolyn Leaf, she's a psychologist in Australia. She has graphics that show that when we continue to focus on something, thoughts grow like trees. Right? So if you're growing a productive garden, that's phenomenal. But if you're growing a bunch of weeds in there and you're habitually getting distracted, you're habitually not doing something, then it may take a long time and a lot of accountability, a lot of coaching, a lot of support, a lot of encouragement, and maybe even counseling in some cases to break that habit. But to establish a new habit, it takes anywhere from 18 to 254 days. And typically in a work environment, if you can stick with it for 66 days, that's about 2 months. 66 days is the sweet spot. If you start doing it every single day, here's one habit I want to challenge you, challenge our inner circle members on. Do your daily time capsule 6 days a week. You need a rest day. 6 days a week for 66 days. That's 10 weeks in a row. 11 weeks in a row. 11 weeks, a little over 2 months. Do it every day. And hopefully by then, you'll see the power in it. I'm telling you, if there's one thing that I've done for productivity in all my years, how many of you have discovered that? That you start in the morning, you might call it quiet time. Gary Keller calls it strategic thought time. And then what you want to do as you delegate to other people, as you build your team, your one thing time is what Gary Keller also calls it, working on your biggest projects. He says that your one thing, you need to invest 4 hours a day. Now, we can't imagine that maybe, but you could imagine that if you have a team that's doing all the in the business stuff for you and you have people managing for you. Now I can invest 4 hours a day writing a book. I can invest, I'm not going to do 15, but I can invest 4 hours a day building something. Planning. Make sense? 66 days is the key. Someone said people do not decide their future, they decide their habits, and their habits decide their future. Lie number four is willpower is always on will call. They did some research. You may have heard this story before, but they did some research on a study that was done. The Israeli Parole Board, this team of people were challenged with whether they would grant parole to these inmates or not. And they studied, 4,000 cases, I think, or something like this, over 11 months or something like this. I mean, it was a big study. Here's the results. They figured out that it had all to do with the willpower of the parole board. The person making the decision had nothing to do with whether the inmate was rehabilitated or not. You know what it had to do with? So favorable decisions over here on the left were at their all-time high in the morning. Man, I got rested. I feel good. Yeah, you can go. You're free. They start getting tired. About 10 in the morning, it's 30%. And by the morning break, 10 in the morning, it's down to almost nothing. Rejected. I need coffee. Rejected. Guess what happened after the morning break? You're free. And between the morning break and lunch, man, if your deal was right before lunch, guess what? Yeah, almost back down to zero. Not quite as much. And then afternoon break, back up to like 57%. At the end of the day, back down to zero again. So someone's release from prison was dependent upon when the person that had your freedom in their hands when they had lunch. Or when they had coffee. Or when they had some rest. See, willpower is like the battery on your cell phone. If you use it all up, the battery power goes down. This is why you need to do your most important work when you have the energy. This is why when we eat right, we have more energy. Lie number five is a balanced life. Yes.
Can I add a few more things on that?
Sure.
Decision fatigue. When you hit decision fatigue, you default to habits that you
yes.
have.
Yes.
And pre-decided things that you
yes.
decided before.
Yes.
So your morning routine with your morning capsule.
Yes.
The decisions are made before you hit decision fatigue.
Yes, decision fatigue. You're going to just default to your habitual response because your battery has been depleted. All right, lie number five, a balanced life. Zig Ziglar always said that success is a balanced life. Was he wrong? Gary Keller said it's bunk. But I suspect that was a marketing ploy. Because he said that it's not a balanced life. He calls it something else. So you need to stand up anyway. So everybody stand up for me. Just a second. Okay, stretch for me a little bit. Okay, good. All right. Okay. Now, if you can do this without hurting yourself physically, what I want you to do is I want you to stand on one foot. Now, close your eyes and put your hands out like, just kidding. That's the sobriety test, right? Okay. All right, do it again. Okay. Are you balanced or are you balancing? You're balancing. So, okay, you can have a seat. So what Gary Keller calls it is counterbalancing, right? So if I'm like this, then I'm not balanced. I'm counterbalancing, right? Now, balance is this, and here's the point. The point is that in what he means by this is that if you try to be balanced in work and home, you're not going to be successful, at least in business. Because if you're constantly back and forth, texting back and forth, trying to get your work done, blah, 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 blah. Extraordinary success, phenomenal success in business, according to Gary Keller, says that you have to go long. You have to go long. You have to sacrifice. But you don't sacrifice your family. Instead, what you do. So the graphic on the left is you're bouncing back and forth between work and life. Anybody work at home? And there's people at home. And there's like Susie is in the house. But she has Gigi. I'm giving you a distraction. I'm talking about the one thing. Anyway, so my daughter-in-law... My daughter-in-law lives at, my son and my daughter-in-law and my granddaughter live upstairs. And I told her, I said, look, you don't answer the door unless we're expecting somebody. I don't answer the door. Like, I don't know who you are. I'm working. If I'm not expecting you... And if I am expecting you, we're going to communicate, leave the package out there. I mean, I had to sign some papers the other day. I'm on a webinar. I can't go down there and sign those papers. Michelle goes down there, gets the papers. I sign them. You got to, when you work out with a lot of distractions, we're going to talk about this tomorrow. You got to find your bunker. So I have a bunker and nobody can bother me up there. All right. So that's what the graphic on the left means. The one on the right, we also can't live life and business at the extremes and survive. When George W. Bush passed away, by the way, George W. and Barbara Bush were were clients of ours. The company that, my service company, the one that you guys went to this morning, they were clients of ours. And really cool to be in their home and everything. And the end table next to the bed has a glass over it. And underneath that glass is all of the cell phone numbers of all the world leaders. It's like George W., Jeb, Putin. I was like, I'm sure there's cameras in here somewhere. I ain't even looking at that, you know? And it's like, I mean, what are you going to do anyway? You know, call up W. and say, hey, man, what's up? Secret Service butts in. Who's this? Oh, we know who you are, you know? And anyway, one of the things that amazed me about George Sr., Bush Sr., is that, I mean, this guy's getting all this stuff done at work, and he's dropping out of airplanes and fishing and playing golf. The Secret Service, you probably saw this if you watched any of the coverage, that when he went fishing on his boat, he's like, man, it was like, we thought we were going to get killed just trying to keep up with him, because he's just like, and they're following him in their boat, you know, and trying to keep up with him. I mean, he lived big on both sides, and he survived into his 90s. A lot of people don't survive. So it's not about, you know, going big at work and then going and playing 36 holes and then, you know, we're going to go on a month vacation and then we're going to stay up all night. And it's not about that. What it's about is this is what it should look like. Go short in your personal life and go long at work. So you see the red line, the lifeline, you stay in touch. This is one of the things I need to do better at is when I'm working, I don't feel like talking on the phone. I don't feel like finding out all the junk that's going on at home and all that kind of stuff. And I'm tired at night and busy in the morning, you know. And so, and don't, please don't say anything to Denise about this. She'd be like, yeah, he leave, don't even call me, you know. And, but I'm trying to get better. So you stay in touch, right? You stay connected to your family. But work, see that black line? You got to go long to get this extraordinary stuff done. Don't sacrifice your family, and don't try to make up for it with a one-month vacation. Doesn't work that way. Every day, continuous love for your family, go long at work. I love this poem right here. It says, imagine life as a game in which you're juggling five balls. The balls are called work, family, health, friends, and integrity. And you're keeping all of them in the air. But one day, you finally come to understand that work is a rubber ball. If you drop it, it'll bounce back. The other four balls, family, health, friends, and integrity, are made of glass. If you drop one of these, it will be irrevocably scuffed, nicked, perhaps even shattered. There is no amount of business success that can compensate for failure at home. If you have a big dream and you have to go long, get your family involved in that. We sacrifice together. We have the thrill of victory together. I didn't build a house in Destin, Florida without considering, is Denise okay with this? Is she okay with spending time down there? It took me a long time to get her sold on that dream. Lie number six, big is bad. Bigger thinking leads to bigger actions, bigger relationships, bigger habits, and bigger results. People think that if they go bigger, they make their business bigger, that they're going to be out of control. I want you to notice, I don't know if this is on your, is this screen on your handout, this graphic on your handout? That one's not on there? Okay, so just imagine, as you see on the left-hand side, that represents thinking, bigger thinking, and on the bottom it says time and effort. Remember I told you that you got to think big, but you got to work hard. Darren Hardy came to this stage and he just said, listen, when he spoke to us, he said, success is just hard work. There were a few words in between that. But stinking hard work. It's called grit. Yeah, you got to work hard. But if I'm like pedaling like crazy in the wrong direction or thinking small, I'm not going anywhere big. You got to think big, go small, work hard. So this graphic, thinking is on the left and time and effort on the bottom. And if you think small and act small, see this little line right there? Then that's where you're going to be, and you're going to end up with a small outcome. Okay? Small thinking, small actions. Bigger thinking, bigger actions end up with bigger outcomes. Now here's how you structure your company and structure your organization to make sure that things don't get out of control. Research shows that you can effectively lead 3 to 7 people. Effectively. You can lead 3 to 7 people, an average of 5, effectively. When it gets out of over 7 or over 5 for most of us, over 1 or 2 or 3 for some of us, depending on your leadership capacity, things are not going to be as fluid as they could. You're not going to get the outcomes that you could. Isn't it interesting that we have 5 systems in business? Santiago, he's my leadership person. He helps me think about things, leads the team, we brainstorm, we set the vision, we set the plan, we communicate the vision. Victoria's owns the marketing. Aliki owns the sales. Michelle owns the operations. Scott owns the administration. So I just need to focus on leading those 5 right there. And the more I empower them, the more that they can handle. By the way, this is a military term. It's called the span of control. So it's almost like an Amway illustration. Anybody go to an Amway thing back in the day and they get the whiteboard out and they say, this is you. And then this is the 3 people that you recruit. And then they recruit 3 people and they recruit 3 people. And before you know it, you got a huge organization. Same thing. Same thing. Leaders of big companies, they don't effectively communicate or personally lead everybody in the organization. They have their leadership team. And by developing those people, some of you in here are now putting your managers in our leadership groups to develop them, and I applaud you. Because you have to develop your people as leaders. How is it that a Leakey could start as a part-time marketing rep in college, become the manager, and become the director of marketing director? I'm going to let you're 26 now? 28 now. Okay, so 2 years ago, a 26-year-old direct the marketing of a multimillion-dollar company? Yeah. You know why? Because first of all, she has the heart. She has the makeup. We taught her the skills. She's willing to do it. She has the right attitude. She has my heart. And she was able to be amazingly effective in that. And so when they have your DNA, when they have your culture, and they're willing to work hard, and they think bigger than you do, you got the right leader. Jesus stopped at 12, and he had 3. There were the ones that the inner circle. Yeah. All right. Let me close with this. We're actually going to close. We're going to take lunch at 11:45 in 2 minutes after I share this last thing with you. And we're going to come back at 12:45. Your agenda says lunch at 12, but they've got another big group out here and they want to coordinate us to where we're not the groups aren't on top of each other. So we're going to take lunch a little early, 11:45, and then we're going to come back at 12:45 is when we're going to start. Okay? Some of us, because we don't think big, we have a poor self-image, whatever it might be. We don't think big enough. We don't expect big enough. We don't believe big enough because we don't know how to do it, or there's fear or whatever. And there's a little poem that I'd like to read in closing. You've probably heard it before. It's called My Wage. I bargained with life for a penny, and life would pay no more. However, I begged at evening when I counted my scanty store. For life is a just employer. He gives you what you ask. But once you have set the wages, why, you must bear the task. I worked for a menial hire only to learn, dismayed, that any wage I had asked of life, life would have willingly paid. Have you ever asked for too little on a project only to find out that they would have paid you a lot more? Have you ever doubled your prices like some people had and nobody even noticed? Are you doing things today that 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, you would have thought, that's impossible. Nobody will ever pay me that much. Nobody would ever do this. And then you have a regret that, man, I should have been asking for that a long time ago. I told you about Mike Killen earlier. He's going to ask for $20,000. No, you asked for $120,000. What's the worst thing that can happen? This representative of this multi-billion dollar company, what's the worst that can happen? No. Say no.
You already don't have it.
Yes? Do you want a bigger life? Or I should say a more meaningful life? More meaningful business? More meaningful ministry, organization, think bigger, but go small. In the next session after lunch, we're going to learn a little bit more about the one thing, then we're going to do some more of it tomorrow, and I'm going to bring it all the way down. Time blocking, setting your GPS, getting really focused on a day-to-day basis. So this is just the warm-up, all right? So we'll see you back at 12:45. Thank you very much.